My message tonight, as announced this morning, is entitled America's Greatest Crises. Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 12 is my text, and it reads like this: For the nation and kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish. Yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted. I make no apologies for saying that America is the greatest nation on the face of the earth. We are now almost 200 years old. There is not a nation under the shining sun that has made the advancements that our nation has had in so short a time. Did you know that America has only 6% of the world's population and yet possesses more than 50% of all the world's wealth? America has more preachers and more churches and more church-related institutions than any one nation on the earth. For example, in Los Angeles County alone, there are more preachers than there are missionaries in all the country of Japan. That's just one example of the number of preachers and churches that are in America. America is the land of the free and the home of the brave. And I love and I respect the stars and stripes. And I have no time for those who do not respect our flag. And I have no time at all for those who are dissenters from our country. I believe we have the greatest nation on earth. America is a land of prosperity. We have the highest standard of living of any nation on earth. We will throw away enough food to feed many entire nations. America has become altogether too careless with the blessings that God has given us. America has always been a land of plenty. But as of now, the picture is changing. We have a shortage of petroleum to run our industries. We have a shortage of fuel to heat our homes. We have a shortage of gasoline to operate our cars. We have a shortage of fertilizer to grow our crops. We have a shortage of newsprint to print our newspapers. And strangely enough, we have a shortage of caskets to bury our dead. I believe, and I've said it many times before, America is at the crossroads in her history. We are at the crossroads politically, religiously, economically, and socially. Let me give you a quote from the late and former president, Dwight Eisenhower. Unless there is a moral and spiritual regeneration in America, we shall someday disappear in the dust of an atomic explosion. It is the business of the church to bring about this regeneration. Now, you would not have thought much about that if a preacher had written or spoken those words. but a president. A man who had the pulse of the nations of earth said that we one day, if we do not have a spiritual revival, a spiritual regeneration, will be lost in the dust of a nuclear explosion. That is a sobering statement. It is one that we should take to heart. America is declining in her prestige around the world. The stars and stripes have been desecrated by nations that at one time were our friends and our allies. Our enemies don't trust us. And sadly enough, our friends find it hard to believe us. America has survived many crises in her almost 200 years as a nation. What shall I say about the Civil War that cost us almost 1 million lives, more than any other war in the history of our nation? What shall I say about World War I that cost us 126,000 American lives? Or World War II that claimed 407,000 Americans? What shall I say about the Korean War that claimed 33,629 American soldiers? We haven't forgotten Vietnam, have we? That cost us more than 50,000 of our men. And what shall I say about the turbulent decade of the 60s, with its riots and racism and revolution and open rebellion? America has met and survived all of these crises. Now we face a nationwide energy crisis that poses perhaps a far greater threat than we realize. We face, as we've already noted, a shortage in vital commodities. We face a rise in unemployment. We face an economic squeeze. But there is another crisis that is far greater and far-reaching than any that we have faced before. What is it? America's greatest crisis is what I call the crisis of spiritual paralysis. While it is true more people are attending church in America than ever before in our history, I'm certain that you will agree with me that there is a superficiality about a great deal of our church attendance in 1973. There is the ring of the counterfeit in much of the religious activities of our nation. Technologically and scientifically, we are in graduate school, but spiritually, we are in the kindergarten. We in America have lost the fires of evangelism. We have majored on the minor and minored on the major. We have much religious thunder, but very little spiritual rain. We have the axe handle, but we have lost the axe head. We have the trees, but no fruit. We have wells, but no water. When we feel the spiritual pulse and take the spiritual temperature of our great land, we are prone to ask, "Where is the God of Elijah?" Or perhaps we should ask, "Where are the Elijahs of God?" Where is the voice that will cry out against spiritual wickedness in high places? Where is the voice that will cry out against corruption in government? Where is the voice that will cry out against apostasy in religion? Where are the Elijahs of God when we so badly need them in 1973? America is in a grave dilemma. I'm not an alarmist. I am not one given to looking at the dark side of a picture. But I feel we must come to grips with what faces us in this hour. I feel that we must meet head on the issues that are before us as a nation. In some measures, we are like a sick man who is crying out for a doctor. In some measures, we are like a man who is sick unto death. And the question naturally is raised, can America survive and will America get well? Who can provide the solution to our mounting problems? Can education? No. Education cannot provide the answer. For you see, scholarship without the Savior is nothing. We ask, can science, with all of its advancements, with all of its developments, with all of its marvels and wonders in the 20th century, can science save America? And the answer is a resounding no. For again, science without the Savior and science apart from divine revelation is futile, is helpless. Can religion save America? No, because religion without Christ is an empty shell. Who then? Pray tell us, preacher, who then is sufficient for these things? And I answer you without apology, none but Christ. No one can answer the problems of your life but Christ. No one can answer the problems of your city but Christ. No one can answer the problems of your nation but Christ. And no one can have and provide the answers of our world but Christ. And I'm glad he has the answer. We must not despair. We must not grow despondent. We must not give up. We must press on. For he is the great physician, and he is able to heal our nation. He is the balm in Gilead. He is the Lord of lords and King of kings. He is the commandant of heaven and earth. He is the all-sufficient one. He is the all-powerful one. He is the all-wise one. And in him we find the solution to our problems. And in him we find the answer to our questions. Jesus Christ is heaven's brightest star and earth's greatest light. He is the great I am, the all-sufficient one. He is the Holy One of Israel. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the stone that Daniel saw hewn out of the rock that comes out of the mountain, not made with hands, to crush the great image of world powers and bring everything into subjection to his mighty and marvelous will. He's the Rock of Ages. So we can sing, Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side, which flowed, be of sin a double cure. Save from wrath and make me pure. I'm talking to you about the answer, the solution, the Christ of God. He's the lily of the valley, the rose of Sharon, the bright and morning star. He's the Lamb of God, and he's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He and he alone is sufficient for this hour and for our day. When I opened the book of the Revelation and turned to chapter 5, I rejoice. With John, the Revelator, at first, I am astonished and I am amazed and I want to weep. Because when John writes in the 5th chapter that heaven is open and on the throne is God, and in his right hand is a book that is sealed with 7 seals, and no man is able to open the book. And what is written in that 7 seal book? A title deed to the earth. This world system is run by Satan, but it doesn't rightly belong to him. Satan is a usurper. In the garden, he usurped the authority and the power that God gave to mankind. So John is weeping. When it appears that there is no one who is able to open the book, John cries with audible sounds. And then one of the elders says to John, "Weep no more. Weep no more. Because the Lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed, and he can open the book." I'm glad he can. And he can open the book of your life, and the book of your home, and the book of your existence. And he can tear away that which bothers and disturbs and distorts and discomforts your life. And only Christ can do that. And he opens the book and gives back to us what God gave to Adam in the Garden of Eden. So if you don't own a plot of ground on earth now, wait a while, and it will not be long. And Christ is going to give it all to us. I have a written guarantee. It's written in the book of Romans, chapter 8. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. Now, if we are joint heirs with him, that simply means that a part of everything he owns, we own. Everything that he has, we have. Everything that God has given to Christ, he has given to us because we are joint heirs with him. And sometimes we can hardly wait for the sound of the trumpet and for this old world system to lose its grip and lose its hold on us until we can be set free. And whom the Lord makes free is free indeed. That is our hope. We're not looking down. We're looking up. We're not looking for the undertaker. We're looking for the uptaker. Because the Lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed. All the great nations of the past have learned that sin is a reproach to any nation. The time has come for America to learn that lesson. The time has come for America to learn that God is no respecter of nations. Oh, I know we like to sit back and sing the Stars and Stripes Forever, and I've already given you my position on that. And we feel in our own hearts that it can't happen in America, but beloved, it can happen. They said it couldn't happen in Israel, but it did. Look at ancient Rome. Whoever thought that Rome would come tumbling down? Certainly the Romans didn't. But it did. Whoever thought that America, or whoever thinks that America can come tumbling down? Certainly we don't. But it can. I read you in my text, the nation that shall not serve God shall perish. That includes America. And sin is a reproach to any people, and that means America. When Edward Gibbons wrote his book on the fall and decline of the Roman Empire, he listed, among other things, three basic causes. One, increased taxation. Two, preoccupation with pleasure. And three, the breakdown of the home. And America is following the same path that Rome traveled. And we are facing the same destiny. For the Bible declares, the wicked shall be turned into hell. And every nation that forgets God. America is so preoccupied with pleasure and sports and money and sex that we don't have time for God nor government. America is so duped by the communist propaganda that we are laying down our arms and cutting back our defense spending. And that's a mistake. Professor George Ward of Harvard University, a Nobel Prize winning man, winning the Peace Prize, said, and I quote, "The nuclear power of Russia in 1975 will be six times that of America." The Secretary of the Navy was in our area not long ago, and he almost begged Americans to wake up and to keep our nation safe through a strong program of defense. I, for one, believe that we should. The professor went on to say that Russia is now capable of destroying 42% of our population. And he said, and I quote further, "One nuclear strike by Russia can knock out 90% of our land-based missiles." But America is money crazy and pleasure mad. We have preferred weekend pleasure trips over going to church, and now we have a fuel shortage. We have sacrificed our spiritual stamina on the altar of pleasure. We have lowered our standards to earn the applause of the world system. We have dipped our colors in order to be accepted by a promiscuous society. We have left God out as a nation, and we are now beginning to pay the price. It has always been the goal of the communist conspirators to undermine our government, our schools, and our churches. These are the three strongholds of Western civilization. These are the three strongholds of our country, our churches, our schools, and our government. Don't be fooled by the grain deals with Russia and China. And don't be deceived by the so-called detente with Russia. The bear is keeping his claws sharp. And he may strike at any moment, anywhere. We are in the midst of the greatest spiritual famine that our nation has ever known. We are sinking into the abyss of a spiritual depression. We are suffering the pain of spiritual paralysis. This is where we are in America tonight. And someone might ask, what are some of the things that are contributing to our great spiritual crises? Let me name just a few of them. One of them is this: a spirit of apathy, that is indifference, on the part of Christians. Many Christians in America could care less what's happening to our nation, and they prove that every day. They could care less whether the church progresses or declines. 10% of all professing Christians cannot even be found. 20% never pray. 25% never read their Bible. 30% never attend church. 40% never give to any cause in the church. 50% never go to Sunday school. 60% never go on Sunday night. 70% never give to missions. 75% never engage in any activity of the church. 80% never attend a midweek prayer service. 90% never have family devotions. And 95% never win a soul to Christ. This is an indifferent, apathetic age. We are living in the day of the church of Laodicea, described in the book of the Revelation as neither hot nor cold. And Christ said, because you are neither hot nor cold, I will spew you out of my mouth. That's where the modern church is today. Another thing that is contributing to the spiritual crises in America is the flagrant disobedience of God's laws. And another, a substitution of the social gospel for the gospel of redeeming grace. We are not sent to preach sociology, we are sent to preach salvation. We are not sent to preach a new social order, we are sent to preach a new birth. We are not sent to preach progress, we are sent to preach pardon. And all over the nation and around the world, there is a substitute of social gospel for the gospel of Christ. Another contributing factor is the trend toward apostasy in the modern church. It might surprise you to know how many so-called men of the cloth who do not believe in the virgin birth, who do not believe in the bodily resurrection of Christ, who do not believe in the inspiration of the scriptures, who do not believe in the literal return of Christ. Modernism, liberalism, infidelity, all of these have made their inroads into the modern church. That's why we who believe the book should stand on the book and stand for the book, and if necessary, be willing to die for the truth of the Word of God. Men and women, I say to you tonight, let's strike a light in this world. It has remained all too long in darkness, in confusion, in chaos. Let's broadcast the truth of the Word of God. And God will bless it, and God will prosper it. Another contributing factor to the great spiritual paralysis and great spiritual crises in our nation is a national indulgence in sin. America has gone down the drain, indulging in sin. The average so-called place of entertainment in our state will soon be nothing but a nudist colony. Read it in the papers. They're passing a bill to come into effect the first of the year that everything goes. Whatever the entertainer wants to do, she can do it. Whatever she wants to leave off, she can leave off. And our government is putting its approval on it. Don't tell me America hasn't forgotten God and forgotten her decency and her moral purity. She has. And the judgment of God is upon this nation because of it. I know this isn't popular preaching, but God didn't call me to be a popular preacher. If he did, he'd have put me somewhere with a collar turned around backwards. He'd have put me somewhere where I couldn't have lifted my voice. But I'm going to cry out against these things because I believe they're wrong. And I believe America needs a revival tonight. And I believe America can have it when God's people get right with Him. And when we begin to stand up and cry aloud and spare not, lift up our voices as a trumpet, we've sat back and let the world take over. And we have to plan all of our days around what the world's going to do. They ought to be planning their days around what we are going to do as a church. That's the way it ought to be. The church is the only God-ordained organism in this world. And we have all the authority of heaven behind us. Would we go around like God's bankrupt and like God's going out of business and like He's lost His power and lost His influence? We need to cry out against sin. God has written a commentary on America in Proverbs 14:34. Sin is a reproach to any people. These are some of the things that have added to the spiritual crises in our nation. Now the question arises, what is the solution to our spiritual crises? From the Word of God, I give it you. We must repent of our sins. Jesus said in Luke 13:1, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. We must return to our first love. In the book of the Revelation, there is a commentary written about the church at Ephesus. Jesus wrote to them, I know thy works, and I know all about this and what you're doing, but I have somewhat against you, because thou hast left thy first love. And so have many Americans in their relationship to Christ and the church. We must return to the place of our first love. We must reaffirm our faith in God. Make a stand. Make it known. A reaffirmation of our faith in the Lord. We must reassess our spiritual values. What is most important anyhow? How big a Christmas we're going to have? what kind of home we're going to live in, or the kind of clothes we're going to wear, or how much we're going to put up for a rainy day. Now, these things are important. Don't misunderstand me. I believe all of these things ought to be taken care of, but not at the expense of the cause of Christ. I believe first things must be first. We must have our spiritual values reassessed. And we must experience a revival that will result in a great spiritual awakening. America needs to be awakened. We have been lulled to sleep with plenty and prosperity and pacification from the pulpits of our land. We need to be awakened. And you know, God's sort of nudging us now. Another question logically follows: do we have any alternative? And the answer is yes. And the alternative to these things is judgment. If we do not repent of our sins, if we do not return to our first love, if we do not reaffirm our faith in God, if we do not reassess our spiritual values, if we do not experience a genuine revival, we cannot escape God's hand of judgment upon our nation. I am of this persuasion that we are already experiencing phase one of God's program of correction for our nation. And phase two will depend upon how we react to phase one. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, then will I forgive their sin, then will I heal their land. You see, God is a jealous God. And he will have no other gods before him. God is a righteous God, and he will judge all that is unrighteous. God is a holy God, and he will not permit the desecration of that which is holy. The turmoil in our government is a reminder that God's government is the only workable plan for his people. You know, when Israel got in trouble is when they threw off the reins of God and God's government and chose their own. And any nation will get in trouble that does that. The restlessness among our people is a reminder that God's rest is needed. And Jesus said, come unto me, all of ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The shortages in our commodities. These things present a constant reminder that God's economic policy is best. And what is God's economic policy? It's written in the gospel according to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. The breakdown in the peace talks in the Middle East and in Cambodia and in other parts of the world, these are a constant reminder that God's peace is the only enduring peace, and that this world can have no lasting peace until the Prince of Peace comes to bring it with his return to reign upon the earth. And the failure in religion, and there's no failure in all the world like a religious failure. The failure in religion is a reminder that God's way is the only way to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. How can we get to heaven? Through the baptistry? No. Through our good works? No. Through our righteousness? No. We can get to heaven only through the sacrificial death and glorious resurrection of our Lord. There isn't but one way. And God offers you that way right now. All the way to glory. Through the shed blood of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. America is in a great spiritual crisis. And only Christ has the answer. I have a footnote and then I shall be through. The place and the time to begin to solve the great spiritual crises that we face is right here, right now. Right here, right now. This is the opportune moment. This is the hour. This is the time. This is the place. America is facing a dilemma. America is at the crossroads. There is a way out through Christ. God is speaking to America. And we dare not turn a deaf ear to his call. Let's stand for our prayer.